Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Mr. Coco Brown. Put your hands together.
Yeah. Hey, what do you mean, lady? Well, I want you to wear, you know, that thing. I like you just the way you are, naturally. Matter of fact, why don't you put on one of those lovely sunglasses that I bought you? That'll do it for me. Just pull your hair back. Take your shoes off. That's all I need. You know what I mean? Sundress. Check it out. Soul of your femininity fits you just like that dress. You see, I don't need to see your designer clothes, silk robes, or fishnet pantyhose. Cause to me, that sundress you wear is the next best thing to you naturally. Just about any color will do too. Cocoa, brown, or a light shade of blue if it's alright with you. Because to me, I just want to see the way it holds you, envelops you, teases your skin like the wind, enticing the hell out of me. Caressing you so close, but making you look so free. Sundress. Days, months, even millenniums after I saw you in that dress, images of you behind still danced in my mind, leaving little imprints of the silhouette of you up against the horizon in that dress. Oh, this is real. You see, that parking lot might as well have been a field of daffodils, cause not one card in my mind let my eyes see. Just the sun, moon, brooks, and streams, and the soul of your femininity. But not even an eclipse could have blinded me to that blissful taste of nature's reality. As I stood watching you from the shadows, I was frozen still like a deer trapped in a car's headlights. Hey, lady, let me tell you how it was. All my actions ceased. So at least give the designer of that dress the damn Nobel Peace Prize for the way that your thighs up against that dress brought a peace to the eyes of this mighty beast, sundress. As you stood up on that balcony, I reached for you as I fell to my knees, and in a soft trembling voice, I beg God, please, please, please let Mother Nature send me a gentle breeze. Let it flow swiftly from the evening skies past my rise and lift that dress ever so gently from my thighs. Ooh, 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 I'd like to thank that north wind that blew. Quenching my imagination's thirst is the wind. Her hair and that dress played a three-part harmony, singing beautiful chords in the key of L to my mind. Senses heightened, I'm as light as a May cloud, pulsating like a summer brook. Hot as 2 o'clock in a Florida July. And that sundress that you wear is why. Can me and you, you and I be one together with nature? Hell, I could be cool as the wind. Matter of fact, I could be that breeze that floats from the evening skies, gently lifts that dress from your knees and touches your thighs. Or I could be the water in that thunderstorm that gets you and your dress wet yet makes you feel warm. Or I could be the sun in that dress that touches your moons and sets the light of fire to this dark room. Or even better yet, if with me, Coco Brown, you impress, hey, could I just be that sundress? Forget the rest of your wardrobe, you won't need any other clothes. You can wear different shades of me, Coco Brown, rain, sleet, hail, or snow. Can I be your sundress? Would you wear me as I envelop your soul? Caress your mind, tease your skin just like that wind. My hands like that cotton blend on your hips. My lips like the ends of your garments as I dip to kiss your knees. My presence making you feel as free as hummingbirds above the trees. Everywhere I go, you could wear me. Cause with our minds, souls, and bodies intertwined in these fields of posies and dandelions, your earth, your wind, your water, your fire, I could be. If just like that dress, lady, you choose to wear me. I'm Coco Brown from the Fat Cat.
Yeah.
Peace and greetings. Peace and greetings. Welcome to the Ring of Song Network. And I'm going to let Brother Tori Ali in.
How you doing? Tori, you What's up, family?
I'm good.
Hey,
family,
me?
You know, yeah, we can hear you. You're cool. You got something you want to give right now? Peace. And family, what we want to do is I want to give all thanks and all credit to my existence, to my protecting spirit, you know, because originally when I started this quest, the young lady that had the baby by me, she decided to forgive the child support arrears that I had. And it's still in the closet in the envelope because some reason I had to take this walk and I had to see what was happening to some of our men and to see how possibly there was a crime perpetuated against men. You know what I mean? A lot of black men are in that system. So we want to see if there's a crime perpetuated. Earlier today, one of the comments was some more was just went off and it was like basically saying, make them pay their child support and take care of their kids. No, I won't come to your show. And so we do have that problem. But the reason why I wanted to give the show was in the end, I will show you where the money is at for all our children. You know what I mean? And so, but what I wanted to do was to be able to, out of this experience that the ancestors took me to, there were so many things that I wanted to give to men, melanated men, that I learned that as we move into a more military-wise, fascist-type government, you know, and that's going to happen because there's things that's happening, like the 3 days of darkness is coming. They know we might get hit by a meteor in the Atlantic Ocean. And so these things will put us into martial law, even if it's just temporary. And it was a brother reminded me of the executive order Obama said. So even the ancestors, when they made me take this walk, then I've learned things for protecting yourself. So it went beyond child support. And it went into a knowledge where I was afraid to attack these things because of my dyslexia. And in the end, I can do a Freedom of Information Act on my phone anywhere. You see what I mean? And I've been to D.C. I've been in Lindsey Graham's office. You know, I've been to the State Department. All in this journey, it has exposed me to so much that I wanted to give the show. I had some apprehension about doing the show, but I decided to do the show because the letter to forgive my child support arrears is in the box in my closet, and the ancestors wouldn't. And I'm glad they didn't let me do that because of what I learned. You know, so I want to give all thanks to the protection and the existence of Husiku was granted to me by my ancestors, the superpower. Brother Tori, you got something you want to give?
Well, you did a good job in the introduction there, brother. Thank you for, you know, having me, brother, and walking with me on this journey, man. It's a pleasure to be a friend of you, man. It's an honor to have you as a friend. So, you know, that's all. Let's give people what's needed, you know, from what the ancestors have directed us to do. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
And if you got a comment, then just slow me down. So, family, first thing we want to do in this mock child support complaint that is we want to give you some of the laws that you should put into evidence in the court. And then we'll try to explain a little bit about them as we go along. For the first law you should get is the Rules of Evidence, Rule 402. Okay.
Right.
Would you like to comment on it?
Yeah, definitely. Rule 402 is in the rules of evidence. You can find it anywhere in harmony with any of the court rules in any court or tribunal in the United States, state court, you know, federal court. Rule 402 simply states that what is generally admissible as evidence, okay? And what that means is what is allowed to be entered, all right? Rule 402 specifically says that if it's not the Constitution, Supreme Court case decision, and federal law statute, right? Anything outside or contrary to that is considered irrelevant evidence in any court or tribunal in the United States. Now, that is very, 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 very significant. And a lot of us say, you know, well, you know, the Constitution doesn't work. The judge said that, you know, the Constitution is, you know, it's not a constitutional court. The Constitution not allowed in this court, you know, and he keeps throwing that state law and state codes at me when I, you know, pick, you know, state for the record the Constitution, my constitutional protections. And the reason why he is ignoring you is why. And I'm going to let you, Baba Siku here, you know, give some information of why they will deny you or ignore you when you are using the Constitution in their courts or tribunals.
So what you do, family, is you clip Rule 402 or you state for Rule 402 on top of your Constitution. Because what the framers of this country did was when they started this country, they wanted to ensure that you could have law in anything, state, federal, or tribunal. So they started it with Rule 402. Well, actually, they started with another code, but Rule 402 became important because some of the reasons why you're not getting your constitutional protections is because you haven't entered the Constitution into evidence. So you attach Rule 402 on it, you enter that into your discovery, Constitution. Now,
right on.
Understand the Constitution defines law as ratified by Congress and signed by the president. That's the only law in America, you know, ratified
right.
by Congress and signed. And so when you put that Constitution into evidence, then you are in the lawful court, and you may have to remind him. Another one is Rules of Evidence, Rule 201. And
right.
Rule 201, go ahead, you go first.
Oh, yeah. So just to piggyback on what you said about 402, and I mean, to go right into 201 as well. 402 basically states that, as we stated, anything contrary to the Constitution is irrelevant, okay? The reason why they're not respecting, give me one moment, you guys. The reason why they're not respecting the Constitution when you, you know, bring it forth to their court or you make an argument on it or try to, you know, say you're protected, simply because you didn't enter Rule 402 in as evidence attached with it, the Constitution. Now, to give them notice of Rule 402, you will use Rule 201, which is a judicial notice. Telling them, you're giving them notice that I'm entering the Constitution and the Constitution will be my lawful environment when I come to this tribunal and in whatever condition you're coming under. And you will use, along with that, Rule 201 within that. Not only are you giving them notice of Rule 402 and your constitutional protections and where it's not to be entered as evidence once you enter in Rule 402, you also give them the U.S. Supreme Court case law that backs up your constitutional protections. But I'm going to digress and let Baba Siku get a little more detail in depth on that.
Why we use them, because it just comes to mind to go back, why we're using the rules of evidence and the rules of procedure is because the Constitution created this judicial body to make courts uniform. So these are rules that even the judges must pay attention to. You see what I mean? Like that. And so when you start, when they read Rule 402 and you put that Constitution in, like, oh, junk. You see what I mean? And 201 is a judicial notice, so you even reminding the judge, you know, of the information you put in. The next one you can put in under Rule 402 or 201 is Title I USC 112. And it's an extremely important title. You should get it and put it in your glove compartment. Because the last sentence in Title I USC 112 says you can have law. Now, law is only defined by the Constitution. You can have law in state, federal, or tribunal. And that says it all. You know, state, federal, or tribunal. So when, you know, people give you an argument about maritime law and admiralty law.
I was going to say, can I tell the audience, you know, and how they understand, so they can understand the powerful tool that, you know, they protect themselves from themselves when they came up with this rule. But how you said that basically, I forgot my train of thought, what I was going with it. But you said something very, very, very important. But I'm going to go ahead and let you go until they come back to me because I just lost the Bible. My apologize.
So it's cool. So it's Title I, USC 112. You want to put that in your court. That also reminds the government, even in a traffic court, it reminds them that you can have law. And law in America is, say it again, my last time I tried to say it, law in America is ratified by Congress, signed by the president. So that even eliminates executive orders, basically, because they're not law, they're only signed by the president. Congress don't fund them. Okay. Next thing you want to put in is Erickson versus Pardus, and it's P-A-R-D-U-S. And that's, you put that in under Rule 201. That's the law that tells the judge he has to be less stringent when he reads your complaint like that. Then you want to put in the Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 5.1. That is the constitutional challenge, and they outline how that court has to figure out if that particular law is constitutional. And understand, constitutional is Congress president, Rule 5.1. The next, you want to enter in the Men of Blackledge Doctrine and Class versus the United States. These two laws support, well, the Men of Blackledge supports that you have a right to constitutionally challenge any law at any given time. Plus, the Men of Blackledge protect you from vindictive prosecution. And then just this year, Class versus United States is where Class used the Men of Blackledge Doctrine and some other stuff, including Rule 402 and the Constitution, to win his one of his cases like that. I would recommend you put in the Clearfield Doctrine that determines that the federal government has jurisdiction and subject, and the federal government, only the federal government, has subject matter jurisdiction over money. You can use Attorney General Manual Rule 201 that concurs with the Clearfield Doctrine, that money, since they print it, is never a state matter. You see what I mean? They print that money. Go ahead.
Let me just correct you. 210. 210.
210. I'm sorry.
Attorney General Manual. You're fine. That's what I'm here for.
Then you want to put in Statutes at Large, Volume 48, Chapter 48. That deals with the gold standard, and put in Volume 49, Chapter 531. That is where the ABC grant was created. The aid to dependent children, old folks, survivor, all of these grants. That's where these grants were created, and we'll get to that later, what that is. Hopefully we'll have time to get to it. All right, so what we're saying in this mock dream that I had, if I was actually in court, these would be the beginning foundation of what I'll go. Actually, they're almost the beginning foundation when I go into anything in any court, most of them.
Right.
A lot of them are keep my glove compartment, you know, like that. Because in anything, when you get a jury trial, you want a constitutional environment, period. You just do, you know. And, well, Tory may share with you his bankruptcy court story a little later about when that constitution and how things changed.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So I was envisioning what type of complaint I would put in. You know, that I originally, you know, they say you got to file a complaint, blah, 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 blah. So I was envisioning a complaint. So what came back to me is notice of a constitutional challenge to South Carolina Code 63. Take notice that pursuant to the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 5.1, constitutional challenge, the plaintiff listed in the above action to make and apply for. Short leave to be granted for the application and challenge the constitutionality of South Carolina Code 63. And take further notice that the questions to be answered in this constitutional challenge are as follows. Is South Carolina Code 63 constitutional? Has this code been ratified by Congress and signed by the president? The states get their authority through the contract with the federal government under Title 42 of the United States Code. In the history of Title 42, it was not ratified by Congress. So how did the state promulgate South Carolina Code 63 into law? Definition of law. The Constitution defines law under Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of the Senate and the House of Representatives. Article 1. Section 7, Clause 2 and 3. Every bill that shall pass the House of Representatives and the Senate shall, before it becomes law, be presented to the President of the United States. If he approves, he shall sign it, but if not, he shall return it, with his objection to that House in which it shall be originated, who shall enter the objections at large on their journal and proceed to reconstruct it. If after such reconstruction, two-thirds of the House shall agree to pass the bill, it shall be sent, together with the objections, to the other House, by which it likewise be reconsidered. And if approved by two-thirds of the House, it shall become law. But in as such cases, the veto of both Houses shall be determined by years, yeas and nays, and the names of the persons voting for and against the bill shall be entered to the journal of each House respectively. If any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days, except it Sunday, after it shall be been represented to him, the same shall be a law, and in like manner as if he signed it. Otherwise, Congress, by their adjournment, prevent its return, in which the case shall not be a law. Every order, resolution, or vote to which the concurrence of Senate and the House of Representatives may be necessary, except on questions of adjournment, shall be presented to the President of the United States, and before the same shall take effect, shall be approved by him, or being disapproved by him, shall be passed by two-thirds of the House and the Senate, the Senate and the House of Representatives. According to the rules and limits prescribed in the case of the bill. The United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8, Congress constitutes tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. Did the founding fathers intend for citizens to be able to use law in all courts? Slip law was defined by the United States Government Printing Office. Public and private laws are also known as slip law. Slip law is an official publication of law and is competent evidence admissible in all state, federal, and tribunals of the United States. Public law affects society as a whole, while private law affects the individual, family, and small group. After the president signs a bill into law, it is delivered to the Office of the Federal Registry, National Archives and Records Administration, where it is assigned a law number, legal statutory citation, public laws only, and prepared for publication as a slip law. Private laws receive their legal statutory citation when they are published in the United States statute at large. The statutes at large, as defined by Article 1, Section 7, Clause 2 and 3 of the United States Constitution of America, as laws logged into the Constitutional Journal. Title I USC 112, the United States Code, is positive law. It can be used in all federal, state, and tribunals. South Carolina Code rules the Evans Rule 402, Reverend Evans. And this is the state, the matching state law to the federal law. All relevant evidence is admissible except as otherwise provided by the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of California, statutes, their rules, or by other rules promulgated by the Supreme Court of South Carolina. Evidence which is not relevant is not admissible. Very important. The federal rules of evidence rule 402, general admissibility of relevant evidence. Relevant evidence is admissible unless any of the following provide otherwise: the United States Constitution, the federal statute, these rules, or other rules prescribed by the Supreme Court. Irrelevant evidence is not admissible. The Federal Rules of Evidence Rule 201, South Carolina Code Rule 201 was entered. Men of Blackness Doctrine allows a statute to be constitutionally challenged after a guilty plea. It's very important that Mena, if you go back and get the Rod Class case, you'll get an opportunity
right.
to see what this brother did at the Supreme Court with that Mena Blacklist. Go ahead.
I want to mention something about that guilty plea. Now, you know, for those who probably be thinking, like, what do you mean guilty plea? Like, you know, child support, there's no verdict of guilty or not guilty. There's just a contract where you pay child support. However, the guilty plea is that you're paying the child support, that you, you know, doing a pro confesso, that you're willing and you are obligated to pay such child support. So what the Constitution allows you to do is to go back and challenge that said decision of you to pay child support, whether you contractually got into that obligation or not. You have the right to go back, according to Men of Blacklist Doctrine, to challenge that statute constitutionally. Now, be aware, you know, the process, the mode of process would be to first, of course, try to remedy the situation in the state, okay? You would definitely try to go to the state to exhaust that administrative or give them an opportunity to cure the matter, okay? Now, if it doesn't work in the state, you will then take that said constitutional challenge and you will file it in a federal court in your district. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Consequence. If a law is unjust, a man is not only right to disobey it, he is obligated to do so. That's a quote by Thomas Jefferson. If a law is unjust, a judge is not only right to disobey, it is the judge's obligation to do so. Poor defendants nationwide are subject to prolonged and unnecessary pretrial detention because they cannot afford to post bail or receive due process. Khalif committed suicide in June, 2 years after being released from a jail complex in New York City's Rikers Island, where from age 16, he had been held for 3 years in pretrial detention, mostly in solitary confinement, because he could not afford the $3,000 in bail. His case capitalized renewed criticism of money bail, prompting the New York City Council to announce creation of a bail fund and city officials to embrace new pretrial detention programs. When they violate your constitutional law, that's one of the some of the things that I envisioned in this complaint I would do was use an example. You violated his law. You know, the Constitution says you have a right to a speedy trial. You know what I mean? And the Men in Blackley says that's vindictive prosecution when you charge the man the amount of bail that you charge him so he cannot get out, you see, like that, of jail. You know, it's also a violation of human rights, liberty to all, but preference to none. This being so, our courts are obligated to protect our liberties in equal in equity accordingly. Each of us are entitled to equal treatment under the law as defined by the Constitution. The safety of people is supreme. Okay, so this is my hypothetical complaint that I decided to put into the federal court. You know, like that. And I got a court date, you know, like that. In my dream, I got this court date. And So I was all, you know, in my dream, I was so happy. I was like, wow, my God, I got this court thing. And I get to go in and prove that taking this child support is unconstitutional because of the law ain't signed by. The law to take child support is not signed by the president or ratified by Congress. You know, like that. You got any comments right now?
Nah, actually, okay. Doing
a good job, bro. And so what happened was later on in that dream, I got a comment back from the magistrate. Now, it's funny because, like, when you put in the Constitution, you're supposed to have law. So the funny thing about it, family, is you put the Constitution in court and you get this magistrate badgering you in a way. And it's like, but we're in the federal court. We're in law. What the magistrate, I should just be dealing with a judge, in other words, not a magistrate going to my complaint. That's in, you know, color of law, you know, like that. And so, give me a minute here. I got to find this. Got to find this here if I can. Give me a minute, family. I got to find the. Give me 1 minute. I thought I had all this together. And working on it. And I don't have it together like I thought. Okay, here we go. So after you put your complaint in, you know, you have the magistrate, from what I find is one of the routines in my dream with this particular hypothetical court. And then the magistrate took my complaint and he critiqued it like that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to read his whole critique because, you know, it would take a little longer. But in essence, the first thing they hit you with is stating the claim where remedy, you know, I think it's rule 12B, something like that. So he said, I say there's a claim. He even said rule 5.1 does not have an exception clause. You see what I mean? Like that. He just went in on it, you know, and he called me a cyber citizen. You see what I'm saying? He said that I was, in essence, I was saying that the state didn't have a right to rule over me. You know what I mean? And what he did was he took everything outside of the rule 5.1 and he attacked it. But he never dealt with my opening sentence that I wanted the 5.1 constitutional challenge. Now, in the 5.1 constitutional challenge, it's not up to the judge to determine if 5.1, if the South Carolina Code is constitutional. It's up to the attorney general. So the judge is supposed to, or the magistrate, one of them is supposed to call the attorney general and say, send me some paperwork on the history of any particular law that you're challenging. You see what I'm saying? Like that. And keep in mind now, we put in the Constitution. So we know what law is. You see what I'm saying? Like that. And that's how he kind of got around. You know, he tried to get around and dismiss the case based on everything else that I said, but never on the fact that he was supposed to go to the attorney general. Do you have any comments?
Not really, brother. You know, you basically hitting on what, you know, they obviously, you know, their famous response is, you know, you failed to state a claim.
Yeah, he went into little things like he said, you know, the Supreme Court derives authority to create federal court rules, general admissible, and he used a lot of Title 28 U.S. Code.
You know, it's funny too about it though. Like you said, you know, you should have law. You shouldn't even going through a magistrate. The first thing he should have done is what? Notice the Attorney General within how much time? You know, 60 days. So I mean,
yes.
So is he in contempt of Congress for, violating a mandated congressional rule, or how, you know, what is there any justification or remedy for us when they do these things? I mean, what's your take on it?
Right, I don't know. I think that you try to hold their feet to the fire. You know what I mean? And you know, you try to remind them that, you know, I'm bouncing. I'm doing the rules of evidence. You know what I mean? But like, it's you definitely try to hold their feet to the fire. But it's kind of hard on the first level of the federal court because he know he can throw it to the appeal. You see what
right.
I mean? And so
right, politically,
when you start looking at, he don't want to render. You know, he basically is like, wait a minute, hold up. You ain't going to look at this case for me forever. And so one of the reasons why my dream is saying that we do the mock and the dream is, you understand, you know, you don't lose the first time the magistrate come. You know, you're just going to have to know that he going to bounce that. You better learn how to stay the claim because he's going to bounce that one first. You know what I mean? That's like an automatic. Right, Eddie, Brother Joy? He coming.
Yes, you failed to stay the claim.
Go
yep, automatic.
He going to bounce that one. You know, and then if you find everything else, he bounces you, a sovereign citizen. He bounces.
And he bounces you to say
gave
that,
me a
you
jewel,
know,
but
because you're
he didn't because
you know,
said
how about
that
this
I
one,
was
brother?
Trying to say,
how about this one? You know, they state state that you are an you are of the state or you're an employee, so you can't do a constitutional challenge.
Yeah, they do that, and then they'll say that you can't sue DSS, but you can. You see what I'm saying? But and he bounced that you fighting the state, but they have a right to police the people. But that one is kind of was a jewel that he gave me because it's like you didn't say you had the right to make law. You just said the states have the right to police the people. You see what I'm saying? Like that. So that was a jewel.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to take that one and use that one myself. You see?
Exactly.
What you're saying, policeman.
Was the,
so anytime,
the Erie Doctrine.
Hmm?
That's called the Erie Doctrine, right?
Erie deals with who has the jurisdiction. And Erie is federal, not state. But Erie kind of goes along with the Clearfield. You know what I mean? It's like, who has jurisdiction? Who truly has subject matter jurisdiction? And
well,
over
the Erie Doctrine, they try to say they got state. The state is a state jurisdictional thing with Erie, right?
No, Erie is the federal, and then the other one is the state. See, so Erie
right.
is like, no, Erie is federal. You know what I mean? Like, very serious, you know, very. And family, get Erie, too, because it's very serious. Because, you know, establishing subject matter jurisdiction, a court technically can't proceed until they establish subject matter jurisdiction. And when they start
yeah.
dealing with money, that's Erie. That's Clearfield. That's federal.
It's Clearfield. Yeah, Clearfield.
Yeah.
Cause,
okay. So then, what I proceeded to do is, after they try to knock you out, they give you what they call a report and recommendation, and that gives you an opportunity to rebuttal what they say and why you shouldn't be in a federal court. So, what I came back with, the Federal Rules of Procedure, effective December 1, 2017, govern civic proceedings in the United States District Court. Their purpose is to secure a just, speedy, and inexpensive determination of every action and proceeding. The Civil Rules of Procedures. The rules were first adopted by order of the Supreme Court on December 20, 1937, transmitted to the Congress on July 7, 1938, and effective September 16, 1938. The Supreme Court derives the authority to create federal court rules of general applicability from 28 U.S.C. 2072 and 2075, and exercises this authority in cooperation with the Judicial Conference of the United States. The Judicial Conference is a statutorily required to carry on a continuous study of the operation and effects of the general rules of practices of procedures, Title 28 U.S.C. 1331. As part of this continuous study, the conference may recommend amendments or additions to the rules to promote simplicity in procedure, fairness in administration, and the just determination of litigation and the elimination of unjustifiable expense or delay. Two, I invoke Federal Rules of Procedure 5.1. This rule outlines the process of determining if a code is ratified into law, slip law, or color law. This rule states that the United States Attorney General determines if the code is law. Civil Rules of Civil Procedure 5.1 does not have an exception clause for judges to determine if a code is law or color law. 5.1 does not have an exception clause stating that the judge can determine a frivolous claim, thus stopping the citizen's due process. The Judicial Committee and the U.S. Congress ratified these rules, so the citizen does not have to argue using case law to support your complaint. Three, Rule 402, relevant evidence generally admissible, irrelevant evidence inadmissible. All relevant evidence is admissible except where otherwise provided by the Constitution of the United States by acts of Congress. These rules or other rules prescribed by the Supreme Court pursuant to statutory authority. Relevance that is not relevant is not admissible. In my complaint, I invoke the Federal Rules of Evidence Rule 402. This rule allows a citizen to enter into his hearing the United States Constitution or United States slip law. This rule also determines what is inadmissible evidence. This rule states when irrelevant evidence this rule states what is relevant evidence once the United States Constitution of America is entered into your hearing. This rule clearly establishes that state law becomes color law once the United States Constitution of America is entered in as evidence. Five, the Clearfield Trust Company versus United States, 318 U.S.C. 363 states the federal government controls federal notes. And if the state or local government were to be engaged in any of these forms of transaction, they will descend to a private citizen. Once the local government receives a child support payment, it becomes a private citizen. And family, since I've been studying the Clearfield, I don't concentrate on that much. I'm more, after studying the Clearfield, I found that the Clearfield determines that if it is a federal note coming out of Treasury, then its subject matter jurisdiction is federal. That's what Clifford really is. So, I put that in there, and then I should have took that out my argument. But I didn't really understand. I really wasn't to care. And it just says that if there's a transaction, that transaction is federal. It's not just limited to trying to turn somebody into a private citizen, because that's a harder argument. You know what I mean? Like that. It's federal. You see what I mean? And that gives you your ability to go into a federal court. That's one of the ways you can go into a federal court, because it's like, I gave somebody money. Number six, I won't read because I didn't get permission from this brother in New York to give the people this particular code on how to do the Supreme Court. So I have to wait and get permission from him. So I won't read number six. Of seven, I understand the political environment sometimes interferes with the opinions of our courts, opinions based on collateral fallout of that decision. In the recent Supreme Court case, Class versus the United States, Class won his constitutional challenge 5 years after he had signed a plea bargain. This case further strengthens the men of blacklist doctrine and the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 5.1. It is sad that Mr. Class had to endure so many courts when most first-year law students learn the difference between law and color law. The United States Congress put lots of energy into researching the background of a bill before ratifying that bill into law, always attempting to maintain law and color law in separate environments. This is why the United States Code 42 is not ratified. This title contains child support recovery and the state's contract to recover child support. However, the United States Statute of Law, Volume 49, Chapter 531, Section 401 through 406, or Section 501 to 501, clearly states that when the state delivers a birth certificate and their plan to the Department of Labor, the state receives money for mothers with dependent children. This money is a grant given to the states regardless of if the mother applies for it. Since the money is given to the states, the U.S. Congress cannot possibly ratify Title 42. In my complaint, I question how a state can create law that is based on color law. This is why I object to the statement that my 5.1 is frivolous. 8, the challenge is not determined by if the states have the right to govern the citizens. The constitutional challenge should determine if the state law and constitutional law are identical, interchangeable. And that was my vision of how I would write an objection to them saying, throw my case out the first time. You got anything, Brother Tor?
Man, you on the money tonight, baby.
Okay, so then let's see where we go here. You know, in that particular order that they gave me, when I rebuffed it, they came back and said that they wanted me to do an amended complaint. So they gave me a certain amount of days to do an amended complaint. And what I did was I tried to do the best I can to give them an amended complaint, you know, because I, you know, you're still fighting and trying to stay in. And give me a minute, I'm going to try to find that amended complaint here. I got it here somewhere. Hold on a minute, fam.
While you doing that, I'm gonna give a little
go ahead.
A little something about, you know, the cases that I, you know, had going on. One case, was a brother, and the judge, I walked in, you know, between the case while they were in litigation. I walked in, I was the only one in there, and so my brother of mine, you know, he paused and asked for counsel, and he comes to me, and the judge, when he goes back, the judge asks who I am and so forth, so I give him my little spill, and then he says, well, you know, in this state, you can get a felony for practicing law in my court without having a license, if you're not a licensed attorney. You know, I said what I said to him, and then I told him, I said, about the Constitution. I mentioned the Constitution, of course. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that you have to have an attorney to seek counsel, and, of course, nowhere in that particular Constitution does you have to be an attorney to give counsel. And, I mean, he falls back, okay? And this is an actual foreclosure case. So, you know, it was kind of good to see that, like, okay, you know, what we've been doing and the answers leading us to, you know, to these waters it's been for the good, and we definitely giving that back right now. But, you know, he says that, and you know, he just tried, he just kept trying to, you know, I don't understand why you, you know, mentioned the Constitution. This is a summary judgment case on a foreclosure. He keeps saying it, and he says something else in regards to equity. But, you know, I'm not going to hit too much on that. But this one, you know, he made a threat. You know, just take a realization that these judges, they will say things to see if you know what you're talking about. Because he just threatened me with a felony. You know, it's a felony in this state to practice without a license. And as soon as I missed the Constitution, he allowed me to continue in the case and actually speak for my friend, right? And the entire time, the attorney is quiet, did not say nothing at all. Once I started talking, I mentioned the Constitution. He ain't talk no more. I had my friend do the steps we're telling you now. 402, Constitution, 201, and you enter all that in. By in those steps, if you're in a situation to where you have to be there, of course, do that. But, I mean, I do it regardless. But I digress. If you found what you found, you can proceed, bro.
But tell them about your trustee, because, see, that's the one I like, when you went to the trustee. Yeah, I learned that one.
Well, I mean, which part, the first or the second?
And the dude told you don't bring that Constitution up in here, like he your daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of happened the same exact way, you know. I was in there and I started talking about, you know, the Constitution, you know, in regards, because he basically, I didn't have the documents needed to file on my meeting with the creditors. This is what they call a 341 meeting. And, you know, I go in there and I go in front of him, and then he, you know, mind you, he's a trustee. He's not a judge. So throughout, I'm talking to him, I'm reminding him that he's a trustee and not a judge at the same time. So he says, you know, you don't have this paperwork, such and such and such. And I said, well, you know, judge, you're a trustee, I'm sure that you are very aware that, you know, I'm here today because I'm in poverty, and you're forcing me to go get documentation printed off at 19 cents per page or 17 cents per page and then mail it to you. I said, you're pushing me further into property, which in the Constitution, I am supposed to be protected as someone who's considered insolvent. Right? Because he kept trying to throw my case out. You know, and he said, well, you know, well, you could have did this, you could have did that. I could continue to tell him about, you know, how that will constitutionally put me in more at risk to further in poverty, you know, and the Constitution doesn't allow that. So what he does, he grants me a motion of 2 more weeks. So, you know, this case, you know, I wasn't really too, you know, excited about, you know. But, you know, when he gave him that 2 weeks, I hit him. I hit him hard. I hit him with 402, 201, and I hit it something about child support within 201. Okay, there's a case law, United States versus, I think it's L-E-W-K-O, and it specifically states that child support is not only civil, but a commercial debt. All right, that is important, because as Baba Siku said, how do you get jurisdiction? The Clairfield Doctrine. So why is it Clairfield Doctrine is important? Because it governs all negotiable instruments, checks, money orders, cash, the routing banking accounts of these particular instruments that they go through. So I gave him notice of this U.S. Supreme Court case law according to Rule 402. I get in there again. And, you know, last time he spoke some equity, but again, I'm not going there. I'm sticking to the Constitution right now. I go in there this time, and we have, you know, he starts, and he mentions that case law to me. he mentioned the child support case law to me because I gave it to him in notice, registered mail. Then he says, you know, you still can go to jail, and you know you could, you know, you're still gonna have to do this and do that and such. So again, I hit him, of course, with that case law. But by when he told me that, when he said that, from when I knew he got it, because he wouldn't have known what that case law until I gave it to him. And he says, well, in 2008, they reversed that, right? And I said, well, sir, if you're going to make that assertion, trustee, please provide such information. He said, well, we're not going to go there. I said, okay, well, fine, let's not go there because it's considered irrelevant evidence. So then, you know, long story short, he gives me my full discharge. But I digress, brother.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I like that because it's, you know, well, where I'm at, it was after I did the amended complaint, they came back with an order. No, I had to do the amended complaint. And so in my dream, I was like, well, how would I do this amended complaint? So, and I'm going to take it slow because, you know, I got to take out some names, you know, like that. But it kind of I do claim that the state, the Department of Social Service, has injured me. This code 63 is not constitutional and cannot survive a constitutional challenge. The Federal Rules of Civil Procedure Rule 5.5 allows all citizens to invoke and have constitutional law in every court or hearing. Next paragraph. I do claim the OBO of this state has injured me. Title 42 of the United States Code is not slip law. Title 42 was not ratified by the United States Congress. Congress could not ratify Title 42, forcing the payback of a grant given to the states for mothers with dependent children.
Pause right there, brother. You think they heard that?
Who?
The audience.
I don't know. I'm gonna hit it later. When I finish,
okay,
I'm going to hit it last
because,
you know, the brother, it's some brothers that, you know, it's like, no, you know, it's hit me with some crap about dirty mores they should pay. So I'm going to hit it later so they can hear the contradiction. See, we're not fighting supporting our children. We're saying brothers should not be in shackles when your mother signed that birth
document.
They put $1 million in ADP in the basket for 18 years.
There you go.
You see what I mean? So that's what we're trying to say. You know, and so some brothers are mixing apples and oranges, and we ain't saying the government should take care of our kids. We're just saying there's a lot of people whose lives have been hurt. I got a brother in Louisiana. It's a brother in Louisiana that it ain't his kid. You know what I'm saying? And he paying or go to jail.
I said that was on the news actually in Michigan and a few other places. You got a guy who they had on the news, you know, that who overpaid the child support and oversaw his child, and they arrested them. So, you know, it's war, it's a warfare thing. Now I don't condone people who don't take care of their children. It's not what I'm saying, or not what we are saying. What we're basically saying is that the same entity that us so-called Moors and indigenous people say we are against, we'll turn around and say we are for something that they created that's actually ultimately for our demise. So if they're going to benefit from that birth certificate, $1 million and whatever it's worth now, you know, why? And then the child support, they get the money. Like you said, they get the grant. That's a grant. And how can they make you the trustee of a grant that the mother's grant?
So you're going into it too early. But anyway, you know, I want to say
go ahead,
that.
Go ahead.
Let's get through. Yeah, all right. And so where was I? in the law, Congress never ratified a payback plan. Basically, it's only under Title 42 or Title 44D, and Title 4D, I think it is, that there is a payback plan and coming back to get money for you, but that's all under Title 42, and that's not ratified by Congress. But when you go to the statute where there's the creation of the aid to dependent children, it's no payback, okay? And so that's what we're saying. Then I have been injured because they take money from me, but they never pay back the grant to the federal government. You know what I mean? They may give the money to somebody else. So this action of taking people's money is done unconstitutionally, and it's only done under color law. And why it can be done to you legally is because if your constitution is not into your court case, you don't have law. Because it can't be done to you lawfully.
Right. You got to create the environment.
You got to create the environment. So I'm going to say, why did the founding fathers ratify Title I, USC 112? They want to make sure that all citizens have access to law, equity, and the rightness in all courts and hearings. I claim that my baby mama and them filed an interstate child support recovery claim, they call it a FOIA order, under Title 42, using their full faith and credit, constitutional due process with the state of South Carolina. The state, blah, 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 mixed constitutional process with color law to mislead another state. Because, you know, to go between states, you got to use the full faith and credit. You can go to the Constitution and real life and read about the full faith and credit and why it's so important from states, because there's bonds and stuff. And one state want to make sure they're going to get paid, so they give each other the full faith and credit, you know, like that. But when my point was that if this state tell this state that they got a foreign order, but they still using Title 42, then they're not using law. You see what I mean? Like that.
Right.
So I've been injured, and relief must be granted. I'm going to speed up. I claim there is a law that lets the Department of Social Services be sued, and the Federal Rules of Evidence, Rule 402, allows Supreme Court opinions to be admissible. The defendant is not immune from relief, but I can't give you that, and I'm not playing coy with you about this. This is another brother, and I see he on the line, but he gave us that, so I'm not going to give up his stuff because I didn't do that. So that's my complaint. I sent that back to them. That was my amended complaint, where they basically said we're throwing you out. You didn't state a claim. So you notice I stated the claim and I stated my relief. You see what I'm saying? Like that. So they basically came back with this long, 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 like they put some work into this job, you know what I'm saying, like that. And it was basically they did the background, and then they just basically just started saying that it was frivolous, it didn't make no sense. They couldn't make heads or tail of what, you know. They said I didn't ask for relief. You see what I mean? They went back to that trial of 28-19-19. You know, if I fail to state a claim for relief can be granted, and it's frivolous. So they're saying it's frivolous, but I only use law. So how can you say it's frivolous? You see what I'm saying, like that? But that's how they just kick you out. You know what I mean? And then they use some stuff like saying that I conjured up questions never squarely presented to the court, but I use law. You see what I mean? I showed them where it's trust. And all the... It went into, like, the court can construe a pro se pleading, but the pleading is not required to plead facts sufficient to prove his case. So they're saying I never presented anything to them to prove that, you know, Title 40D was not ratified by Congress. But in essence, I'm in the constitutional challenge, which tells them under the rules of evidence, under the procedures, that they're supposed to go to Attorney General. Ain't, we don't have nothing in here from the Attorney General yet. You see what I'm saying? Like that. So they go on and on. And in the end, you know, from that particular case, they just said, well, we're going to throw this out. And basically it was on frivolous. They were saying I was incoherent. And basically they said I didn't state a claim. You know, and they also included that I was trying to be a sovereign citizen and not give the state a right to police me. And that was not the case, you know, because 5.1 is something that they put in 37 for the citizens. So, you know, it ain't like you got to create something frivolous. It's there. All you do is just enter it in as evidence. So, you know, it is what it is. And so then they gave me an opportunity to do a objection. Because they all, you know, they basically give you an opportunity to object until they get tired of you, and then they try to throw you out or whatever, you know. So they gave me an opportunity to object. And so let me find it here. I objected to it, and now I'm having a problem finding this. Sorry about that, you know. Okay, so I did an objection. You have any comments before I go into this? I'm told he's gone. Anyway, my objection was, I object to the dismissal of my constitutional count of this state, Title 63, as follows. On August 2nd, the Declaration of Independence was signed. On May 25th, 1787, the delegates signed the United States Constitution. Both doctrines established a country, and their promise to ensure that the citizens of this new nation had constitutional protections. 86 years later, the United States Congress created the United States Code. Congress continued the belief and tradition of the founding fathers that the citizens of this new nation will always have access to law. See Title I, USC 112. Our United States Supreme Court has confirmed the traditions of the Founding Fathers. Also, the High Court ruled that law is defined by the United States Constitution and has mandated the Men of Blackness Doctrine and later Class versus the United States to be their ruler for determining if a law is constitutional. MENA allows a citizen to review the constitutionality of any law or code. In the magistrate's report and recommendation, the magistrate has labeled me a sovereign citizen. State and the federal rules of evidence regulate under Rule 6 how to enter evidence pertaining to the character of a citizen. It is not, the magistrate has not followed the rules of this case. She has no proof that I'm a sovereign citizen. In my complaint, I have not used the language of a sovereign citizen, but the protections of the founding fathers only. The request for law to be present in my proceeding, the same law that protected U.S. citizens for 242 years. Oh, man, let me get it here. I jumped too far. The same law, if the magistrate represents the entire federal court system, the magistrate has demonstrated twice in my case that if a citizen enters the Constitution into evidence or exercises right to challenge a code, he must be a sovereign citizen. The magistrate's contempt of Congress and rule of law is the same as taking the scales out of liberty's hand and replacing it with a shotgun. The magistrate's mission is to restrict the ideas of the founding. The magistrate's mission to restrict the ideas of the founding fathers is anti-government. Secondly, the judge required me to amend my complaint. I submitted an amended complaint. The judge did not comment on my amended complaint, but ordered the court to move to pretrial. I object to the magistrate submitting the same claim for dismissal that she used in her first claim. She added no new information in the second report and recommendation. The magistrate believes that if you proclaim federal rules of civil procedure 5.1, you are stating a frivolous claim. She believes the founders of the United States Constitution were sovereign citizens. If you ask for law, you are anti-U.S. Constitution. The magistrate believes that under Rule 5.1, you cannot state a claim that remedy can be applied. However, Rule 5.1 outlines the process to determine the constitutionality of any law. The magistrate believes that the founding fathers were wrong, that law in the courtroom is not a citizen's right. However, for 400 years, the United States Congress and the United States Supreme Court have ensured that states and the lower courts do not infringe on the unalienable rights granted to the citizens for life, liberty, and the United States. And the United States Constitution defines definition of law. The federal court's right of way is subject matter jurisdiction and validation of satisfaction of this claim that remedy be granted is as follows. This particular state, included in South Carolina child support, received money from this guy in compliance with their court order. This money is taken out of his wages, travels through the national banking system into a state or the mom. After the first transfer, the jurisdiction and the right to determine remedy shifts from the Eric Doctrine to the Clearfield Doctrine. I stand corrected. You were right, Tori. Allowing this court the right to declare a judgment. Lastly, the United States Congress, the 74th Congress, Volume 49, Chapter 531, created the grants and trust funds based on the state's live birth rate. The statute stipulates the states must submit their facts and estate plan to the Department of Labor to receive the grants or funds. This plan is a subtrust, and within the subtrust, the state includes a trust fund payback plan. This trust payback plan is the child support recovery unit. The Congress funds the trust through statutes at large, but does not require the beneficiary, state, nor the citizen to pay back the grant funds. The United States Congress ordered the Secretary of Treasury to be the managing trustee of these funds. See the history of the Social Security. The ADC for Dependent Children Act is a grant converted into a trust fund managed by the U.S. Treasury's Board of Trustees for the citizens slash beneficiary. Congress would not ratify a payback plan of a trust fund because the act would violate trust law. Ooh, went too far. A beneficiary never pays back a trust payment unless the person lies to the trustee. The United States Treasury nor the state of Iowa have filed a complaint against me for a trust fund violation. The state plan is color of law and resembles all the evil our ancestors attempted to protect its citizens from, like overtaxation, contempt of Congress, unwarranted prison term, limiting freedom of speech, and the right to bear arms, and the right to have law in every hearing. So I am not an anti-government citizen. However, I'm asking for the protection that are secured by my ancestors over 200 years ago. That is my amended corrected objection to the amendment where she tried to dismiss my case again. You have any comments, Brother Tori? He's not here. And so I entered
No comments.
And so after I sent that, I didn't hear from them for 90 days. In my dream, they didn't comment on 90 days, you know, like that. And I'm like, I'm an Aries, so I got impatient, actually, you know, because before our interaction was within 2 or 3 weeks. But after I entered that and my fictitious dream, I didn't hear nothing. And so the story goes, I decided to do a declaratory judgment. And when I did that declaratory judgment based on Rule 402, they immediately dissed my case. You know, and if I had time, if you saw what the work that they went into dismissing my case, you'd be like, damn, y'all act like I was Charles Manson. You know what I mean? Because I hadn't really read it. I looked at reading it today, but I hadn't read it, really read it. I just looked and said, y'all dismissed it. They dismissed it and said my argument was moot, like that. So I was like, wow, you know, but I looked at it today and was reading something. I'm like, dang, you know, I was like, yo, that's a lot to dismiss my case. But then they gave me a lot of juice. So you know, in the end, I'm going to go back into my dream and I got to file an appeal, you know, like that. And then I learned a lot, you know, about, you know, ask for what you want and then just don't give them a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because if you give them a lot of stuff, they, you know, they have a way of taking what you don't want and then concentrating on that to throw your case out. And that's basically what they did. So go ahead, Brother Tony. I don't know if he's there or not. And also, I want to say right now, I wanted to give this because I wanted to, some of it I didn't know till I started this. And so to be able to go into federal court and deal what I did, like I started at the beginning of this program, it was all my ancestors. You know what I mean? I never knew how to put a constitution in. And I've heard, you know, by me being, you know, a person that's been hosting stuff, I've been hearing a lot that they don't listen to the Constitution. And then when they show, when I found this and the ancestors gave me that and gave me that, I'm like, oh, wow, this is different. You know what I'm saying? And so I learned a lot. I've been to Congress, you know, based on this whole thing, you know, where I traveled up there and went into, you know, my senator's office, hey, what's the deal? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I've learned how to do Freedom of Information Act, you know, and all of that I have to give to my ancestors, you know, because like I said, the letter to forgive the child support, the mother wrote me a year ago. You see what I mean? But look what I've learned by, you know, staying the course and learning and learning how to write briefs and helping people, you know. And also, like me and Brother Tory, you know, we've been helping people with their foreclosure. I will never do a foreclosure on this show because that's too intermixed with the success of America. And I don't want to get off into that financial institution with them people. You see what I'm saying? But just looking at what if I gave the ancestors wanted me to do this to give it back to some brothers, you know, so that, or some sisters, so that they won't be taken advantage of. You know what I mean? Like, pay your child support, but it shouldn't be jail. It's a debt collection. You see what I'm saying? It shouldn't, you know, that. I've been to a show called, you know what I'm saying? You know, and, you know, the one that I went to, they had chains right there at the front of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, I was like, thank God I got some money, because they had chains. So if you didn't say the right thing, they was locking you up right there. You know, don't take off your clothes. Just put your jacket on, you know, that orange on, you know. And then to find out, it's like, wait, hold up. Y'all locking people up. When they took us off the gold standard, they promised these grants to us. You see what I'm saying? And so, you know, I could get off into it, but I don't want to go there. But they are grants that's promised. And so why are y'all locking people up? You know, why would y'all do that to us? You know what I mean? As we're citizens, supposedly. You know, I know I'm melanated, so I know that why they would do it to me. But if we're citizens and supposedly, and then you set aside the stuff in law for the people, right? So why are you killing us? And that's the point. And so then the ancestors, by them showing me the Constitution thing, it may save somebody's life, you know, somebody's career, somebody's job. You see what I'm saying? So it's deeper than the brother that get on and yell at me on Facebook about, you know, pay blah, blah, blah. You see what I mean? Like that. Most of the time, they're hypocrites anyway. But because it's deeper, it's about us as a people regaining, kind of like regaining and getting more knowledge about civics so that we can learn what's going on, you know. Because believe me, it's going to the police state coming. Simply, it's going to come simply because Mother Earth is belching. And eventually, most of the stuff they put in is really not a conspiracy. Most of the stuff is, well, how do we police y'all if there's a major earthquake? You see? And so they didn't show me a way where, you know, like, hey, but keep your constitution with you. You see what I'm saying? Like that. Because Title I says that you can have law in a military tribunal. I didn't know that before I started this, but that's cool because if not, you could be in a FEMA camp or down in Guantanamo Bay. You see what I'm saying? Under an executive order. which is color law. You see what I mean? And so it goes deeper than that. And see, and so when you deal with people like that, you know they ain't thinking. You see, and since they ain't thinking, you ignore them and you go ahead and try to help people. You know, and I've personally seen since 11/11 the steps that we have taken to slowly get the people back to waking up to that there are things in place and we're not asking for them. You know what I mean? And so I've watched this, and hopefully the ancestors have let me give something that can be one of those steps that can help people. And that's what it's about. You know what I mean? Because I could have been selfish and be like, shoot, I'm going to try to make money. You know what I mean? But to me, it became like, why did y'all give it to me? You know, one thing I've noticed about the ancestors, they're not wasteful. You know, so they don't, like, just give you something just to have. You know, they don't, you know. And so I understand that if they gave me this, they had to have given it to me for a reason. You know what I mean? And it had to be a reason they gave it to me, because I could have discharged the debt or set it off with the mother. So why did y'all give me all that? So maybe this is what I was supposed to do with it. You see what I mean? And so I hope you take it. One little consolation is that, you know, me and Tori has been working pretty hard on it. But right now, the Ring and Stone Network does not have any affiliation with nobody. Nobody, not even Remedies That Work. We have no affiliation. And so the only communication you have with us to communicate is you have to come through ringingstonenetwork@gmail or the ringingstonenetwork or Gmail. Outside of that, then it's not Tori and I. You know, and that, I'm just going to put that out there, because some of this people could use, you know what I mean? But it's not, it shouldn't be for sale. Because we gave it. You see what I mean? We gave our work, our journeys. We wake each other up every day. You know, we're always doing something together. I go down there, and we're in the law. I know his girl get mad at us, you know what I'm saying? Like that. But we've been doing things, and then we've been watching them work, and been watching them work in our lives. But I just want to say that. And I have nothing against anybody. I had someone in the state that was, you know, impersonate me, and he was ripping people off, and people looking at me, and I'm like, no, the Ring and Stone Network don't have nothing to do with that. You got to talk to Husika or Tori Ali. You know, that's it. You know, so if somebody says that, you know, just they're a false prophet, you know, like that. And so that's it. Brother Tori, are you back? I don't know where it's going. Family, I'm probably, you know, I will email you if you hit the Ringing Stone Network or Gmail or Ringing Stone Network or Gmail. I will send you the history of Treasury. All the other stuff you can just go to the government printing office. Most of you can go to the government printing office, and it comes with a little bird. And from that little bird, you can you know, hold on a minute. Hold on, y'all.
All right,
you back, bro? Where you at?
Yeah, I'm back, brother. I'm back. I'm
okay.
Sorry, my phone dropped. I'm back. No, but I was on though. I was on.
Okay.
Yeah. I was with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were. I'm looking at you. Go ahead. You got any comments?
Nah, man. You hit it on the nose, man. You know me and you, we got the same understanding on how to kind of maneuver through this journey, man. So very necessary to give, and like you said, freely, not for sale. You know, anybody who may claim, you know, and I don't want any, you know, claims to it. You know, it ain't no competition, nothing like that. But you know, this is free information, so definitely use it.
Yes, you can.
And
you know, like we said, we do help with foreclosure, but we're not going to do that one. Ain't got time for the government to be messing with our phones.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We sure don't.
And,
they already are.
But this one is for the ancestors. That's to the people that I love that came into my life.
Right. And you know what, too, Sequel, you know, between you and I, you know, this has been one of the biggest battles for me, too. So, it's been a good journey. I'm glad you didn't turn in that form. That's been in your box.
Yeah, it's been. I learned a lot. I ain't lying, but yeah. And so, I can't read. Tori tell you, I can't read. So,
hey,
but
you know what? You can't read. I interpreted for you, Baba. The ancestors, you interpreted the words of the ancestors to me, man. So it's a mutual exchange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to take one caller?
Yeah. I'm all open.
Got one? P626. Welcome to the Ringing Song Network.
Greetings.
Greetings. I don't know. I thought they were there. Do you have a question? 347-626. Do you have a question? I guess not.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's strange. But they've been holding for a while. Maybe they fell asleep or whatever. I think I know the number. Let me see. So do you want to give your information out?
Contact information?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, I'm not giving no numbers.
You
can email me. You definitely can email me. I'm trying to give you somewhere. You know, the basic stuff, you know, my stuff is a little hard to remember, but it's TALIXIAMARU@gmail.com. TALIXIAMARU@gmail.com. And got questions, you know, I'm all open to give, you know, some enlightening information that maybe we can help in regards to tonight's show.
Yes, peace. Let me try one more time. Bob, are you there?
Well, who's that trying to chime in?
My brother committed you.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, you calling me now?
No, we're not. You still there, brother committed you?
Yeah, I'm still there. No, but pardon me for that, Ma. I was listening to your guys. Yeah. Peace, brother. Peace to yours and all your
peace,
listeners.
Peace.
Yeah, I was just listening to you. You did an excellent job, man. You know, your brother's really impressed me, and I'm really one hard to impress because there's just so much foolishness and nonsense out there. But it was a power outage, and I had to tell Con Edison to move the truck because my people just trying to get into the driveway. So that's why I didn't respond. Pardon me for that, brother. Yeah. All that rain and all that stuff was crazy up here in New York, and plus they had to change the meter and so our lights went out, you know, so they finally just restored it. But your brother's just dropping it, man. You dropped it, man. You know, you, Brother DeSico, you know, and Brother Tori, and I was texting both of you about what's going on, because what you dropped is what I'm dealing with. All right, and I got the key, the silver bullet, to deal with that. I got the silver bullet process. Let me put it that way. All right, so people could be clear what I'm stating. Because one thing that I was listening to, Brother Yusiku, that was very, very important, what you was reading in reference to the magistrate classifying you as a sovereign citizen, and technically I would have told him, listen, sir, you're acknowledging me that there's a diversity of citizenship, not that I'm a sovereign citizen, which you're claiming, right, under your police state, but you're claiming that there's a diversity of citizenship.
You know what I'm saying? Because, again, they usurped us, and they took us, and they're controlling us. And so now we fall up under their, quote-unquote, equitable in law jurisdiction, as they call it. But it's a diversity of citizenship in the mountain controversy, all right, which is child support. And you hit it right on the head when you said it was a commercial debt. You hit it right on the head, brother, all right? Because what they did, once mom, not knowing that she signed that birth certificate and got the Social Security card, she did not know that that created the child to be up under 26 U.S.C. Section 152. All right? That's what the child is subject to now. They because of that transferring the child over on paper to the state and then to the Department of Commerce, all right, automatically put the child up under what you call a 26 U.S.C. Section 152, all right? So which is a same term that they use with the W-4 form when they talk about dependent, all right? So now the child becomes a commercial item, all right? And that's what the child support. When you go under Section 152 and you scroll down, you get to read, you're going to see non-custodial parent, custodial parent. They're going to, you know, divorce. You know, you're going to see all kind of spousal support under that section, you know? So this is what they're using against us. It's Section 152 under Title 26, which is the Internal Revenue Code. This is why I keep telling people that this is all an Internal Revenue proceeding. I don't care if it's federal, state, or local government, civil or criminal proceeding. And that's why that W-9 form is so important, all right? That W-9, because when you go to 26 U.S.C. Section 6903, it talks about notice of fiduciary relationship. And this is exactly what the judge and bankruptcy court, family court, or any other court is operating under, you know, but they never gave the Secretary of Treasury that they're operating as a fiduciary under Form 56. So I can show you, you know, where's your remedies at? You know what I'm saying? So, but your dropping, brother, is off the chain. You know what I'm saying?
I got a more question because we're trying to keep it more in-house, even though you're in-house, about how we want to deal with people. But my question is to you, right, is do you think we was right in teaching this? Or should we just let brothers?
It was critical. It was critical.
Like that,
like
more went off.
It was the ancestors, brother. It was the ancestors. You was every right, brother. You know, because our people is in bondage, man. They're doing what they call, brother Yusiku, brother Baba Yusiku. They're doing what you call is economic gentrification and accounting fraud. So that's the ancestors, brother. That's confirmation right there for you to come. And I appreciate you for that, brother. I appreciate love you for that.
It's deep, man, because I didn't even want Tori to come. I was like, no, you can't do this show. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he got a newborn. You know what I'm saying? People get mad about it.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, this people call me. They can't even get in. You know, they can't even get in. But it's cool because it's, I just think it's something that people should reflect on and look at, man, because it's like, you know, there's so many things going down the pike that this is beyond child support. You see what I mean? There's so many things coming that people don't know. Like you're talking about how they usurp you. They're usurping us into a military style government.
There you go, brother. There you go.
And when the answers are gave me, I'm like, what? Wait, hold up. You know what I mean?
I like to make one comment to these people. I like to make just one comment, and I'll be quiet. I had to make one comment. And this is for the sisters. This has nothing to do with the brothers, all right, sisters? Once the child has the birth certificate has been issued and the Social Security card has been issued, because I came across the information to show you where the Social Security card is a banknote under Title 42. I came across that information. So the Social Security card is a banknote. The birth certificate is a banknote. Why am I saying this? Because the child became an estate. It became an estate. So if you need the money, it's from this child's estate. They don't have to go after the father's estate. See, the mother has an estate, the father has an estate, and when the child is being quote-unquote born, then the child has an estate. But they're not going to tell you about the child's estate, which is over $1 million, plus the child has a AA rating that they never report to the credit bureaus. I just wanted to make that statement.
And we hit on it. And my last complaint, we definitely hit on it. I could, you know, I just don't want to make these people mad because I could teach them. I could do a show and teach a woman how to make that request. You see what I mean? Because it's a trust. Like you said, the state is a trust, and there's a whole different law that's in law that, and then they turn it around and trying to make people pay back something that, you see what I'm saying? That they should be right with the people and be like, this is what we provide for you. You see what I'm saying? Like that. But that ain't going to happen. Why? Because we the people, they know how to throw us nuggets. But one day they're going to wake up and see it's like, damn, we're in this fascist government now, and then it's going to be too late to learn. And everybody on them. You see what I mean? Let's say, like, what happened this morning? You know, you got the president died, right? Then somebody else take over Venezuela. The people can't eat, and now they're under an earthquake. You see what I'm saying? Like that. And so what happened to law? And so that's what I got from the ancestors. They even teach me what happens to law when that starts to happen here. You see what I mean? Like that. That you need to hold on. You need the road atlas and the Constitution. You see what I'm saying? Because they're not really getting away from the Constitution. They're just doing color law till they make you believe that it don't exist. You know what I'm saying? And your mic, you're still open, bro. But Brother Tory, you have a comment?
No, I don't, brother.
Okay. Well, in that case, what I'm going to do, folks, is I'm going to sign out and I'm going to enjoy, you know, the rest of the evening because I got to get up and go to work in the morning. Brother, commit to you. You got a comment before we go?
Yeah, mate.
He must be gone.
Yeah, he may have left.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
And family, I'm a snitch. That's the brother that I couldn't give that law to you on. He has to give you that law on how, you see what I mean? Like that, because he gave us the law. Actually, to give credit, you know, committee, you gave me slip law, and then the ancestors had me research it, and then all this other stuff came up. But he did give us the law on the Supreme Court saying that how you can sue that agency. But I wouldn't give it simply because of, and then it's another law I couldn't give to you because I didn't ask a brother in Philly, you know, to give that particular law like that. So we good. You have a comment, brother? And we're going to get out of here. Committee? Go ahead, Brother Tory. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah, no comment, man. It's a good show. Good giving back, you know. Giving back to the universe.
I appreciate it.
I'm happy with, you know. I'm all open for another one, you know.
Mom, I'm so annoyed with her. That's true.
You're live.
Brother. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I just wanted to just let you know. I appreciate your brother for the show for the night. And hope to be back on again, all right? And y'all have a good night for those listeners.
Okay. And you may have to, you know, may give us, because it looks like I'm going to go another month. I got, little family, I got a Professor Joy Mayotte, superb sister, yoga, blah, blah, blah. I got Sengomi coming back on to do readings. And then Sengomi and some of her crew up in Asheville area, they're going to be doing full moon stuff starting in September. They're going to start doing the regular full moon show. So it looks like the Ring of Stone Network is going to come back and be more busy. To some of the listeners in Australia, well, I don't have a name, but I need to get the list, that freedom fighter sister in Australia. So if somebody that's in Australia listening, email the Ring of Stone Network at Gmail because I want to get in touch with her. Next time I do a show, I'll mention it. But remember, we got Joy Mayotte coming. She will be here next week. And I met a black farmer, and I'm going to try to get him coming on soon. But he specializes in how to prepare your soil. So for growers, you know, you might want to know exactly how to prepare your soil. And with that, you know, family, I'm going to relax. I appreciate everyone that came. Hopefully download and I guess one more caveat. I Saturday I went to a sweat, and the lady that ran the sweat in the land of Toussaint, we were having a conversation about this upcoming 3 days of darkness. If you go with Fleur Brown, she's talking about this pole shift. She was saying that she was hoping that it didn't happen before March. And so, you know, at some point start to prepare yourself, because the way she said it, I'm like, you think it's that close? And she's like, I'm hoping that it don't happen before March. And then, so start preparing yourself. You can keep, store some food, start keeping some water, because it may happen, and that might be why we give you the constitutional piece, because if it's 3 days of darkness, then it won't be any lights or electricity for 3 days. And so you're going to have to learn how to survive it. And that's even like our diabetes family, you know, look for alternatives, because those machines may not be working for 3 days until that pole shifts back. But anyway, that's what I want to give to the family. Also, Sister Sagomi, which is a priestess, she feels it's coming more. It's coming sooner than later. You know, so keep that in mind. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with another song that I love. Hey, thanks for stopping by the Ringing Song Network.
A minha voz vem do coração, vem do coração.